The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today, believe it or not, is October 12th, 2017. I'm going to bring our good friend Jed Johnson in here shortly, so I don't know if he's heard this yet, but this has really caught fire through the show, and a lot of times when I'm getting stuff through Facebook, they'll leave these two lines I always say now. You can stand up or sit down. I prefer to stand up. Take a big deep breath through your nose, out through your mouth, and repeat, I am a winner, I am a champion. Now, this has gotten extremely high response from our listenership here. This has been going on for about 2 months now, and I always add a lot of things on, but we're going to stick with those two lines over and over again, because if you're telling yourself things of that nature rather than I can't do it or I'm going to be part of the vanilla world and be nothing, well, that's what you're going to get is nothing. But when you keep reminding yourself morning, noon, and night, when things feel like they're going awry, I am a winner, I am a champion, reverse it if you want, what do you think's going to be floating around in your head? I'm getting into this more and more. I'm going to be putting a show up called Ladder today. I did on my own. Wait till you hear that. Equate a ladder with the goals and what you want in life, and you might understand it before you even hear it. It is just extraordinary. Also, too, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out the Winner's Circle. This product is 15 years of the Stone and Steel Yard here where I reside and train people myself. There's 12 modules plus a 13th one that will definitely change your life. There's a moderate amount of video, but I'm of the belief now more than ever, if you don't think and digest and keep learning, video's great, but video is a good way to get hurt if you've never done it. And, you know, when you're getting into dips, heavy pullovers, different forms of barbell curl with your back against the wall like they used to do in the old York barbell picnic days. You can read about all that stuff. You can find it out there. Those are the things, high shrugs, things that most people don't venture into now, but they have a very high yield to them. So you want to check that out. I'm telling you, 40 minutes minimum per module, it will change your life. Also, go out to our contribution page. $25 gets you the beginning. That's the first module off the winner's circle. $50 will get you the first module and a half hour of time with me free. $100 will get you the beginnings and 2 half-hour sessions free. All you have to do is click the tab. It'll take you right to PayPal. You're in, out, and you're all set and ready to go, and we will set things up for you. Also, go out to motivationandmuscle.com and look at all. There's over 800 now podcasts I've done in 3 years. We celebrated our third anniversary on the 27th of September. Who would ever think that? All the advice, as usual, I got about that was negative. There was a big article the other day about podcasting, how it's just taking everything over. I don't listen to a lot of people. I respect opinion, but in the end, like anybody, you're going to do what you want to do, and I'm glad I stuck to my guns. This was the best move I've ever made in a business atmosphere, and I'm going to bring our good friend Jed Johnson, and like I said, momentarily, and we just briefly were talking about a few things before we came on. My idea here is I'm setting the standard. I'm setting my own business model. I'm not following anyone's anymore. There's successful things you can look at and draw from it, but this is my baby. And Fiorello Barbell Company and Motivation Muscle are going to be the way I want to do it. And like I said, I made a pact a few weeks ago. It's either me or it, meaning I'm going to trample this thing or it's going to kill me. And people say to me, you're out of your mind. No. You have to be out of your mind when you want something real bad. As Coach Lombardi said, that you got to live it, eat it, drive it, sleep it, among other things. If you can do that, you win. I don't give a fuck what happens to you. So think about that. Also, too, motivationmuscle.com homepage. Sign up for our newsletter. That's the only place you can get to us. It goes right to my MailChimp account. If you're signing on anything else, don't bother. It goes to pie in the sky, and that's the way it is. As I said, we got Jed on, and I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman. Let me just bring this up here. Number one, Jed is a speaker, performing strongman, and three-time national grip strength champion. And we're going to talk about a couple different things today. We're going to talk about a contest that Jed will be in on October 28th of this year, the King Kong of Grip. And we're going to talk from the elbow down, which I think is fascinating. Jed, welcome back, brother. It's an honor to have you back on the show, sir.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot for having me. It sure has been a while. It was quite a busy summer this year, and even the fall has been quite busy. So, but I'm glad to be back and looking forward to today's talk.
Absolutely. Is there anything I missed you want to add?
I got to look back and see how many times I've been national champion. The three-time champion isn't right anymore.
Okay, okay.
I'm going to have to look back. All right. I'm going to have to look back anymore, dude. I don't even remember how many I have.
So, well, man, just send it to me and I'll update your profile. We want things right, man. We want things right.
No biggie, but yeah.
Well, it is biggie because I want everybody that comes on here, you know, you guys are doing me a favor too, and we got to be correct. And that's the way we operate. This is very interesting. I think the last time we talked, you were going into a grip contest, I believe.
Yeah, but, I was going into South Jersey 4.
Right.
It was the fourth time that this particular contest was being held in New Jersey. And as it ends up, it was the biggest grip contest that ever took place in one location in the United States. So it was huge. It was awesome. It took place in the conference room of a hotel.
Nice.
In New Jersey. And boy, I'll tell you what, it was pretty compact in there.
Yeah.
There were 50 plus competitors, and then there were probably another, I don't know, 15, 20 like bystanders and people helping out, things like that. So it was quite an event. And depending on how you look at the scoring, I either came in second or like six.
Wow.
Yeah,
so
the conventional scoring that we use, I came in second.
Okay.
And then they used like some what I feel is like a BS body weight comparison, and people that I beat by like 30 pounds on stuff ended up finishing ahead of me. So
yeah.
It was kind of weird, but you know, I knew going in that they were going to use that. I didn't cut, but as it turns out, when we looked at the results, I changed my body weight to my lightest body weight that I've ever competed at, like 230.
Yep.
And it had absolutely no influence on the way that the scores laid out. So I would have had to been like 200 pounds in order to shift my score and improvement, and there was no way that was going to happen. I mean, I weighed 255. There's no way I can lose.
Right, 55 pounds, man. Yeah, no way.
But that's whatever, you know, that stuff happens.
Hey, look, man, you got a new one to go into, so you know what I mean? It's behind you now. Let's talk a little bit about the King Kong of Grip. Let's start out with its origins, where it's taking place, and we'll go from there, my friend.
Yeah, so it's going to be October 28th. It's taking place all over the world.
Okay.
It's going on in Australia this year. It's going on in Russia, Finland, all over the United States. I think there's like five or more locations just in the United States. There's like two or three on the East Coast. Canada. It's going on in Canada. It's going on in Europe.
Wow.
I mean, in like England, you know. I mean, it's going on all over the place. The first year that it took place, I want to say, was 2013, dude. It was 2013.
Okay.
So, Juha Harju, my good friend from Finland, won it in 2013. A guy named I'll be honest with you, I forget the guy's actual name, but another Finnish guy won it in 2014. I won it in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, a guy named Gil Goodman from Nashville, Tennessee, won it last year. So we're going to see what happens here in a couple weeks.
Now, where do you have to go? Is this in your hometown, Jed, or where are you traveling to, if not?
I have historically held it in my gym.
Yep.
Here in Wyalusing, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
This year, we're actually going to kind of cross-promote it, and I'm going to do it in a gym in Wysox, Pennsylvania. So it's roughly, 10, 15 minutes away.
Okay.
And I think it'll be a good setting. We'll get some more people involved. Some people won't have to drive as far from where they're going to be staying in hotels and things like that. And looking forward to putting up some good numbers.
All right, so what are we going to talk about event-wise? What are we getting into?
Yeah, so there's four events. And the way this works is you have no idea what's going on at any other locations. So all of the events take place at your given location, and then the promoter for that spot sends the information to the main organizer, which it's a pair of dudes that have done this every year. It's Eric Rusin,
mm-hmm.
who's in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and then Andrew Pankey, which he's in Michigan in the United States. So they work on it together, and I don't know who exactly processes all the data. I forget right now, but we send it all to them.
Yep.
Everything gets listed together, and then you get a score based on how you did in comparison to all the other locations.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's really cool. It takes a lot of work, and they get it done in short time. Like, they really do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So there's four events.
Okay.
I'm going to list them off in what I think the order is, and I could be wrong, but I think this is the order. One hand flask.
Yep.
One hand 2.5-inch FBBC crusher.
Yep.
One hand stub, which is a silly implement that comes from World of Grip in England, and then one-hand 2-inch vertical bar.
Yep.
All of these are one-hand events, and you can, the main idea is you have to use one hand to lift them up.
Mm-hmm.
And switch back and forth now. The rule has been changed where, let's say you injure your right hand and on the first pull, then you can take the rest of your attempts on with your left hand, so you get all your attempts. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So the flask is a pinch event.
Yep.
The crusher is an open hand support event. The stub is a key pinch event, just like you're holding a key.
Yep.
And then the 2-inch vertical bar is considered vertical support, so it's kind of like you're trying to pull a horseshoe stake out of the ground.
Nice.
But it's 2 inches in diameter.
Yep.
So
let me ask you this, because everyone loves, you'll see a lot of stuff, whether it's in Milo or all over, with the Apollon axle, or they're using 3-inch bars. In your opinion, I've got kind of a mixed bag here. Mm-hmm. As far as grip work goes, because we'll talk more whatever you want to talk about with King Kong here. But in your opinion, do you need both, or do you feel, well, everyone's set up different, they're going to say when I say this, but do you feel one-arm events, and we're talking with thick apparatus normally, we'll just go like a 2-inch handle for a dumbbell or whatever we're going to use, do you feel that's more beneficial than using both hands on an Apollon or a bigger bar, or do they offset one another?
I'm not sure which one is better.
Okay.
I think you definitely need to work both hands evenly so you can get the work done that you need to with a one-handed device.
Okay.
What you end up having is one hand is always going to be a little bit stronger than the other, and it can actually flip back and forth between the discipline of grip training that you're actually doing and the implement that you're using. So, to give you an example, the crusher is one of the thick bar implements that's out there. It's 2.5 inches in diameter. You can also buy something called a wrist wrench that's roughly 2.5 inches in diameter. But you end up using your thumb and wrist a lot more on the wrist wrench than you do the crusher. So, mm-hmm. you know, one hand might be better, even though I'm better at the crusher, I might actually be better left-handed with the wrist wrench.
Yep.
Just because my right thumb might not be as good at squeezing a thick bar as well as my left.
Correct.
So you don't need it as much on the crusher, but you need it more on the wrist wrench. So the most important thing is that you're working both hands.
Yep.
Intensely. You may not work them evenly because, you know, they're not going to be equally as strong, but I would say, like, the number of attempts, the number of volume, the amount of volume that you're taking should be similar, because you don't want to have one hand that's, like, weak and then
yeah.
the other one
yeah.
super strong. But as far as, you know, there's benefits to all those exercises, as far as do you need to work one of them at a time or both at the same time. Not sure about that. I would say as long as you're working both of them equally, you're going to get the benefits that you need.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, is like I have a lot of southpaws in my family. I'm a righty. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, I can't really bat well southpaw. I can throw southpaw, not obviously as fast with a right hand. But I seem, even when I train, I've always seemed to be stronger in my left side, and that's weird because I am a predominantly righty, but like I said, I have that. But you know, it's funny, even with like one arm movements and stuff, there isn't a hell of a lot of difference between back and forth. In fact, I think sometimes my left arm's stronger, and this was the bicep that was torn. I don't know, and it was even before the tear, but it's interesting when you talk about that, you know, hit one hand, you want that's common sense, but most people don't know that is you want to be strong on both arms, both hands, yeah. both all that. And that, well, is if there's anything else you want to lead to King Kong, if not, let's start going into from elbow down, but continue, please.
Yeah, well, the thing is you have to take into consideration, you know, between the disparity between your hands, you have to take into consideration the actual, you know, all the joint orientations, the yep. actual length of each segment of every finger. Almost everybody in the world is better at grippers right-handed because of the mechanics of the spring.
Yep.
The way that the spring is wound, the handle acts in a way that is different right-handed from left.
Mm-hmm.
And then also most people are better squeezing the Iron Mine Silver Bullet
yep.
with their right hand. However,
really? Okay.
My lifting partner, Luke, is yep. actually better left-handed. And if you look at his thumbs, his left thumb is somewhat pointed. It's elongated compared to his right thumb, which is more like stubby.
Mm-hmm.
So that allows him to do when he's using the silver bullet is he gets better of a better hook from his thumb over top of his finger and a better lock. So we just tested it yesterday. He got like 30 seconds left-handed on the silver bullet with the number three gripper.
Wow.
And only got about 20 right-handed, which it's really unheard of to hear that kind of reverse disparity mm-hmm. unless the person is left-handed. So, yeah, that kind of stuff happens. I mean, on block weights and
yep.
on the narrow pinching things like plate pinching 245s
yep.
and things along those lines, my left hand is almost always stronger than my right.
But are you predominantly right, though, right?
Yes,
okay.
I am predominantly right-handed, and you talked about baseball earlier. I've always
yeah.
batted right-handed and always threw right-handed. I did try at one time to become a switch hitter because I think we talked about it one time that I was thinking about I didn't want to pitch anymore after
right.
2 years in college, and I wanted to go back and just be a hitter. So I thought if I worked out all summer on batting left-handed, it would make me more valuable of a player in order to switch hit. And you know, I did give it a try, and I was able to hit home runs out of the ballpark we were practicing on, but it just, you know, never ended up happening. But, yeah, predominantly right-handed, unless I learned something like, for instance, the way I learned to cast a fishing pole,
okay,
I guess, is actually left-handed.
Yeah, that's interesting, right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I miss fish sometimes. You know, in the spring and summer when the fish are really, really crazy.
Yep.
Sometimes they will actually be able to see the lure coming at them from on your line when you're casting it. And I either cast left-handed and then reel right, or I cast right and reel left. I can't remember anymore. It's so long. But I've actually missed fish because my hands weren't in the right spot.
Yep.
In order in that transitional phase, I've actually missed fish. So it's funny, you know. Sometimes it's how you learn things. That's what you end up becoming. But
sure, absolutely.
Yeah, but that's about it with King Kong. If anybody is interested, if you're in the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, and you'd like to come to a grip contest, I would certainly welcome anyone listening to hit me up and get information on the contest. The way that we run the contest is we answer questions as needed for all the new people. So we have a lot of experienced people, but we don't try to push the new people through the contest or anything.
Yeah,
if we see that they're doing something wrong that's going to hold themselves back, we let them know, and we try to make sure that everybody gets the best experience possible. So, yeah, I would welcome questions or anything like that from any of the people that are listening.
And I think that's a great thing you do. You go over and tell them because you don't want to see anybody get hurt, especially with the hands and fingers, because we know what that can be like. And I hope people that are listening to this show will be up tomorrow. So it'll be up plenty before the 28th. Well, we got over 2 weeks. So anybody for motivation, you know, contact. Do you have a contact number, Jed?
Yeah, my cell is, I have a cell number. I don't have an 800 number, so
okay.
I guess I'd rather not give my cell out.
Well, they can get you through social media, right?
Yeah, social media or my website, dieselcrew.com. You can contact me through the contact form.
Okay.
That's perfectly fine.
Okay, cool. And I know you just got done because our good friend Frank DeMeo with the – is it August in Arms? Did I mess that up?
August of Arms.
Okay, all right. And this is what I want to talk to you about too. And I think we have talked about it a little bit in the past, and we're going to go from the elbow down. But being a guy that is really one of the greatest grip guys we know in the universe, how essential, if at all, because I believe the whole unit, I like from the shoulder to the fingers, how much does bicep, tricep, and I don't, I've never heard anybody ask this question, but they probably have, how much play does that have in from the elbow down?
Well, it actually, I think, does have quite a bit of play. I hear a lot of people say that they can't do the lifts I do because their biceps aren't as strong as mine.
Okay.
And one of the things that I incorporate in a lot of my lifts is a bent arm approach. So yep. I actually cock my elbow. I keep it bent probably 15 to 30 degrees or more sometimes, depending on what lift I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I find that what that does is creates better stability in that arm.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you're activating more muscle, so you have the potential to create more force, which, again, helps with stability and also for just your executional strength when you're trying to pick something up. So I think having strong arms is very important, and really the conversation that we probably should have, even though I'm not a professional when it comes to shoulders nearly as much, it's really shoulder down because if you have something that's off in your shoulder or an injury in your shoulder, you will see weakness in your arms and grip. And then if you have a weakness in your hands or in your lower arms, that can cause movement issues that work, you know, it's transferred upwards and can mm-hmm. injure your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an article somewhere that someone sent me. They're in New York State, and it's the guy that he sells the Tyler grips.
Okay.
He sells the Hunter push-up spikes. The Hunter push-up spikes.
Yep.
His name is Stan Hunter. He sent me the link to an article one time that talked about the relationship between grip strength or lack thereof and shoulder injuries, and I think it was specifically rotator cuff injuries.
That's
so,
what I was going
to
say.
A lot of times what happens is because of that weak grip, we end up adapting movement patterns that aren't healthy for the shoulder. So you can actually cause problems for yourself because you have a weak grip,
yep.
you know, cause problems up the chain.
Well, that makes sense because, shoulders not only look very well when they're trained heavily, obviously, and they're very functional in rotator cuffs. And we all know we've all had injuries in those places. And Chris Melton sells the rotator, and he sent me one. This piece of equipment is phenomenal. If you would ever want to talk to him, Jed, I can make that happen. You might want to talk to him. But definitely, and you know something? I, being a guy that tore a bicep and probably, in my opinion, maybe backed off him in that year before, year and a half before, because, you know, a lot of it was the belief, and it is to a point that the smaller muscles are going to go along for the ride, you know, with the big rows and all that, especially when you're going to lift stones. You really need to have that bicep strength. But as you go along and learn, and I agree with you totally. Shoulders, biceps, triceps, obviously the belly, the forearm, the wrist, the hand, and the fingers. Now, if we're going to design a program, and we already talked a little bit about biceps and stuff like that, let's just talk about it. I mean, you just got done with the big August here.
Yeah.
Basically, let's not get any confusion for people. Let's just keep this real basic because I love this. Bicep curls, still the best you believe to accentuate everything going down to the fingertips. Good move, what?
It can be. Okay. I think if you're just using a normal bar,
yeah,
like your regular bar,
yeah,
that's going to give you a chance to use a great deal of weight and can build the biceps, build the forearms, and potentially build the grip. But I know that a lot of people have problems with a straight bar, which causes pain for the wrist, and that can either end up causing you issues for like a distraction type of pain,
sure,
while you're doing that lift, or it could end up causing issues down the road where you end up having further issues, further problems, injuries, and it can take away from your strength even more. So I actually didn't do any barbell curls to speak of. Maybe one or two days in August of Arms this year. I took those completely out. I really revamped the program because of the feedback I was getting about straight bar curls. So I would actually say probably, I mean, the barbell is great, but also heavy dumbbells can be good too, because it allows your body to move in a little bit safer, you know, plane, allowing more rotation, more safe rotation, and you're not locked into the plane that the barbell wants to force you through.
What about curling bars?
Like easy
curl
bars?
Yeah, easy curl, Olympic easy curl bar. What do you think of that?
Absolutely love them, brother.
Okay, absolutely. I'm with you too, man.
I've got four downstairs right now. One of them is inoperational. Because I lost the Allen nut or whatever it is, disappeared. So I love those. Absolutely love those, bro.
Well, like you talked about dumbbells, you know, Martin Janzik, who's probably one of the best stone lifters in the world out of Scotland, we got into that, and totally big believer in dumbbell curls for really building the power to lift stones. I can't dispute what he says, but I will use those, and I love using a curling bar. But I will tell you this, but this is for people that are more advanced like ourselves here. A great way to really build the belly of the bicep, I believe, and this was an article written by John McKean long, long time ago in Hard Gainer and Al Montini there. They talked about training middies, they call them. And for some reason, the mid-range and the power rack, and these guys have been around, as you know, forever. And I talked to John on occasion quite a bit. And one of the things that was very interesting, because I love the rack and all I do is dead stuff. Well, he calls them dead starts out of the rack. And we were talking one day, and he says, for some reason, the mid-range of a rack, no matter what you do, seems to go after, they believe, muscle and ligament and tendon in a different way than the top height and the bottom height. Okay, so make me a believer now. Well, I'll tell you what. You grab a barbell. I normally do it with a thick bar. and you want to start it just below the mid pole, and you want to set, you want to come off the straight rods in the rack, grab it. This is with a pollen axle, and go no more. See, my holes are 2 inches apart, so I go 4 to 6 inches depending on the day. I'll come up and I'll pull as hard as I can against the other set of rods with a straight bar. Knock on wood, I've never had any problems with it, and I'm experimenting with it now with a lot of different things in the middies, and it's very interesting what's happening with me. In fact, tonight I've got to do the dead stop squats, and I have to do very heavy close grip floor presses. If you're not familiar with floor presses, folks, I have a platform. My power rack is logged right through that, lagged through that into the cement floor, and I start that at whatever height I'm going to have it. I'd be at a midi. It'll be 4 inches above with the other set of rods. Obviously, I'm going to do an isometric hold, they call it, et cetera, et cetera. It's brutal work, but it will build a body on you. And I'm doing this, Jed, for one reason right now. I'm going to test. I'm doing this with the Hoosa steel stone. I'm going to get into this more. I'll give everybody a little hint the way I'm pulling it. It's being pulled through the X factor, I call it. That would be a band across and another band across. If you think you're strong and tough, try to pull that thing with some weight in it up through those bands. I've already been knocked on my ass twice, and I'm no pussy, believe me. So I'm just telling you, I will report more and more on this. All right, so that's what I'm talking about. You know, we talked about the biceps. So curling bar, obviously dumbbell curls. I just gave a thing about hitting the bellies, but as I said, do not go after this unless you've got a lot of years under your belt and you know how to train properly in a rack. Okay, tricep work. How much do this triceps enter into the picture here, brother?
Oh, I do. August of Arms is equally as much triceps as biceps, if not more triceps, just because there's so much mass to the tricep. It really helps your arm seem to be bigger. It even helps out the bicep because just everything ends up making the sleeves tighter.
Yeah.
So,
throw us out a movement.
I'll tell you what, my favorite movement that I did this year was the two-arm French press.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have dumbbell over your head in a vertical position.
Yep.
And you have both hands together cradling the top, the top head.
Yep.
But so historically what I'll do is I will try to go for as much volume as possible.
Okay.
And I really lower it quickly through the eccentric phase.
Yep.
And this year what I did was in several of the workouts, I lowered it under very, very strict fashion, doing 5-second eccentric lowerings. And it was, I was so sore in the triceps after doing that that I feel that's the way to go now.
Yeah.
Lowering and getting that stretch, doing everything under control. And if there's anything that I have a bad habit of doing, well, I probably have lots of bad habits. one of the bad habits I have is I don't pay enough attention to the eccentric phase.
Yep.
Doing that this year, and that's one of the things that I put into the overhaul this year for August of Arms was more emphasis on the eccentric phase. And I think it can prove to be very beneficial.
Yeah, that's a brutal lift. I do that on one of the 2-inch handles when I do that. I mean, folks, think about that. You got to clean that up, put it in the back of your head, let that down and come up. And I'll tell you something else I notice. You start working it the way you're talking and you're using a pretty heavy dumbbell, look what's going to happen to your upper back because it hits your upper back too. You're going to get in the trap. Yeah, and that's a nice thing because that's like a shoulder girdle hit, and so you're getting a little bit of punch with that. All right, now we're moving down to the elbow, into the belly of the beast, as they say, the forearm. How important is forearms? We know they're very important. What do you like to do when we're going to go after and build some big muscle belly there?
My favorite thing to do for forearms, for the flexor side, like the big gooseneck, massive portion of the forearm, is to do behind the back wrist curls with a thick bar, like an axle.
Okay.
I absolutely love that. And then because the axle is so big and it puts stress on your fingers a little bit more intensely, So I feel that I'm getting a good grip workout out of it at the same time as working the forearms really hard. I found that I can get way more weight on anything behind my back.
Wow.
For forearms versus trying to do the seated wrist curl or a tabletop wrist curl. I just literally can't get my wrists into a position that's safe and pain-free for those seated wrist curls type of variations. So I like the behind the back with the axle for the flexors.
Do you do anything standing, reverse with the axle, anything like that, or no?
Like a reverse curl?
Yeah.
No, I usually use the easy curl bar for that.
Okay.
Yep. I suppose it would be a great idea to try the axle. It's just never really occurred to me when I was actually doing it.
Yeah, I usually do it, but obviously you're going to have to back the weight off. At least I got it because, you know, something, once again, I like to use that to really pump a lot. I'm not talking being a candy cane and not using any weight on the bar, but I really like being able to just take that thing and blow blood through it like insanely, you know, because that will usually be the second of the two that I do. Anything else on the belly you want to talk about?
No, buddy. I think we got it.
All right. Well, here's a favorite. Let's talk about directly to the wrist. Is there anything you like to do other than, we know, with the reverse wrist curl for the belly? What do you like to do with the wrists? Anything in particular?
I like isometric holds in the flex position.
Yep.
For the flexor side, and what I'll do is, again, probably take generally at least a 2-inch, probably more often a 2.5-inch diameter handle, and load it up with, for me, a minimum of 50 pounds.
Yep.
And then it's almost like if you're going to bend over and do a deadlift or a row, you just reach over, pick the dumbbell up a few inches, and then flex your wrist.
Yep.
And that's really all there is to it. And then you hold it there in position and for time.
Yeah.
So I like to shoot for maybe 10 seconds and then do 3 to 5 sets and really strengthen that wrist up.
Yeah, I like that. You know, one thing, we talked about simplicity here. You don't need to do 10 million things for your wrists and your fingers and your elbows and this, that, and the other thing. It's ridiculous. One of my favorites here, obviously, you know, when you're grabbing this stuff, you're grabbing, I'm grabbing, your hands are getting a ton of work, especially when you're using a 2-inch bar or whatever you're into. So let's talk hands and obviously fingers because, especially with what I like to lift, you lift Atlas stones and all that, you know how important those darts are that are attached to your hand. Let's talk about the hand and fingers.
Yeah, my favorite hand and finger grip training is definitely going to be, it's either a toss-up between thick bar dumbbell deadlifts or pinching. And probably if I have the choice between the two, I'm going to go with block weight pinching.
Yep.
Which is basically any chunk of anything that looks like a block that you're pinching, you're lifting in a pinch grip with your thumb on one side and the fingers on the other. That's my favorite kind of thing. Blob lifting, hex block lifting, scale weight lifting, anvil lifting, things like that, all that stuff, odd objects like that. That's all considered block weight lifting. It's my absolute favorite way to train. But sometimes I have to kind of ground myself from doing the block weights, kind of like this period that I'm in right now with my training. I'm only doing maybe 10 attempts on block weights all week long.
Yeah.
So that's really, really low volume on block weights for me. But I am seeing improvement in what I've been working on, and I feel that block weights helps me in many other ways. So I always try to keep a little bit of block weights in there.
Yep.
Not get too far away from it, but I have a tendency to go a little overboard.
Yeah, we all do. We love doing it, and we can't stop. That's the whole thing. All right, the next thing, I got a few more questions, is this. Because, you know, we got a lot of young listeners here now, and we got every genre, obviously. If I call you or I come to your gym, I reach out to you, and you let me come over, and you're going to help me out a little bit. We talked about, you know, obviously the shoulder work from the shoulders right down to the tips of your fingers. What do you feel is the protocol when we haven't done a lot of this, but we're doing the basic movements How many times a week do we want to do it? Do we want to take a separate day and concentrate on that? Or do we want to add that in to, say, our squat or our deadlift or whatever type of pressing we're doing? Just something basic, Jed.
For beginners, I would say that you want to start out with a couple weeks where you're just doing grip work one day a week.
Okay.
And then after that 2 weeks is gone, then you go to 2 days. And you probably want to do that for about a month. And then after that, you can probably even go more frequent training, because by then you're going to have a much better foundation. And the problem that people run into far too often is that they try to go right to like 3 to 5 days of grip training per week right off the bat.
Yep.
They don't have any kind of foundation, and their connective tissues aren't used to it. Their tendons and everything like that. They end up seeing problems because of that immediate increased workload. And you know, if you can think about it, dude, if we go out there and we try to chop 50 trees down in one day with an axe,
yeah,
or dig a ditch that's 500 yards long, you're going to be sore as hell,
yeah,
after that. So if you try to do 3 to 5 days worth of grip work, high intensity grip work, when you haven't done any, you're going to run into some problems. You're going to run into at least some pain due to the onset of DOMS and things like that. So you don't have to rush into this. This isn't a sprint. This is something that you're supposed to enjoy and benefit from. And I don't know many people that have enjoyed digging ditches and chopping down trees.
Yeah.
So don't make it digging ditches and chopping down trees, man. Make it lifting and do it the right way. That's what I would say.
Yeah, and I also tell people, too, which, you know, we can hit upon here. It's so important when you talked about, you know, you go out and try to chop down 25 trees, all right? Hands, you have to take good care of your hands. We know the calluses that are going to happen from, and the thing is, I'm sure Jed's had it, I've had it, a lot of my friends have. You get a piece of meat ripped off out of your finger, your hand, especially, yeah, with a callus, you got big problems. So let's just run across that. That's very important. Let's talk about hands. I mean, you know, you're new to the grip game, or maybe you've been in it but never done a lot of it. You're a little bit too exuberant with everything, and you get in a little trouble. What is your suggestions just for hand care?
Yeah, well, you want to make sure that you're stretching after each workout, especially,
yep,
when you're new.
Yep.
That's not something that you can neglect. Take it from me. Like I've already said a few times here that I can't do like straight bar curls and things like that because my wrists and forearms have gotten so tight. And that's because when I first started, I didn't do that stuff.
Yep.
So that's a lesson learned.
Yeah.
From there, you also want to make sure that you're training the back of your wrist in extension, and then also extending your fingers so that you're working the extensor muscles.
Mm-hmm.
That's called antagonistic balance, just a strength balance between opposing muscle groups. And if you do that, you will, you know, you have a better chance of staying healthy. So you want to make sure that you're doing that. If you end up with an injury, then what you want to do is what I would do. I'm going to tell you what I would do, just because I'm not a doctor. Okay.
Yep.
If I have an injury, I try to really get an idea of what I did, what I strained, what got overused, and I try to figure out what that muscle, what the action is that muscle does. Okay. And then what I will do is I will do extremely high volume with very, very light resistance and flush that area with blood as much as possible. And I might do that for a week or two. And I've had tremendous results by doing this in getting through injuries. I've done this for my arms, like my biceps and triceps, for my forearms, my wrists, my fingers, all that stuff. I've even used it for hamstrings and things like that.
Yep.
For me, it's the best thing that I can do. I don't necessarily recommend ice.
Nope.
Just because I'm not a big ice guy. One thing that I have used ice for is contrast bathing, where you'll dip your hands in very, very cold ice water and then immediately go into a warm water flush, and then you'll alternate back and forth between those. But, man, I haven't done that in so long. I would say probably the last time I did it was like 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that I do regularly. It is something that I have done in the past, but I think you get the same, or at least a similar therapeutic benefit from flushing the area with blood.
Yep.
As long as you don't have a tear. All right, let's, I mean, come on, you got to have common sense. As long as you didn't tear something, you're not going to cause further damage. You know what I mean? That's what, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So those would be some of the suggestions for injuries.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, another thing too, I always make sure any calluses I file down, you know, I don't want anything that's going to stop my progress training. And I, like I said, I always have super glue in the garage because if I split something, I'll super glue it and see if I can hold the thing together. Another thing I wanted to say too, and I don't know, and I'm sure you've probably done it. I found one of the best things for the tips of my fingers. I'll just grab a stone and hold it for as long as I can till I drop it.
You know, that's a good idea. And I never did any of that just because for me, when I was lifting stones, it was like, we're going to do this for 4 hours and we're going to try this until we lift the heaviest stone possible.
Right.
And then we might throw some doubles and triples in there or maybe see how many reps we can get with this moderate stone. But it was generally pick it up all the way to either the thing that you're loading it on or your shoulder and then back down and you do it again.
Yep.
So I just didn't vary that much, but I really think that is a good idea. I've put that into a couple of articles and products that I've done as ways to strengthen the hands, but I never ended up doing it when I was actively training stone lifting more. But it sounds really, really cool.
Well, another thing too, Jed, if you ever want to try it, is I do isometrics with them where, you know, my garage obviously is concrete. So I'll grab the stone, you know, try to drill my fingers right through it, and at the same time I'm pushing against the stone wall. The only thing I tell people, and I caution them, make sure your feet are spread apart because I've dropped it more than once through failure. You don't want to drop a 50, 60, 100-pound stone on your foot, folks, because that might be the end of your lifting career for a long time. But I do believe there's a lot of validity to that, and I love doing that, and I think that has been one of the best movements I've done for my grip. And it's a very natural setting, too. I mean, they're river stones. I get to do that normally. I can do it with anything I got here. But I like the feeling of different size stones, different shapes, you know, grabbing it. Some are thicker than others. You just got to kind of use your head, folks. It's take the time to go out and learn your craft. Listen to people like Jed, myself, and anybody else that is affiliated with M&M here. But really take the time to go out and learn, because I'm telling you right now, like I said about the winner's circle, you got to learn how to think. If you don't know how to think and you just go and do blindly, we both just said it previous, you're going to get hurt and you might not be able to come back. Or if you do, you're going to have a long layoff. Nobody wants that. Just keep progressing. What else you got, brother? Anything else we need to hit with the grip?
I mean, you know me, dude. I can talk about it all day long.
It's good stuff, man. You know, I do think, you know, obviously due to you and many other people that have really brought this to the forefront, but I still believe it's like everything that we like to do, there's an awful lot more to do, and there's an awful lot more people out there that really need some help and exposure to this kind of stuff, and not just think that I'm going to go pump my chest up and maybe get a bicep. You know what I mean? There's just so much with this stuff. I mean, I'll never learn everything I need to learn in my lifetime. But it's okay, because what I know now, I know well, and I've never stopped learning. You know, nobody knows everything. That's the interesting thing about physical culture. Well, we've gone over pretty much everything. I mean, if there's anything you want to add to everybody, lay it out.
I'll throw one more thing out there. It's an exercise you can try, because I think we kind of went past it.
Okay.
For the wrist extension, you know, it's very, or, you know, just for the general back of the forearm.
Yeah.
Maybe we did touch on reverse curls. I think those are real important. But also, a good isometric that I do from time to time is I'll put a really, really heavy band up and choke it to either the bar, like the pipe that supports my house,
yep,
or the squat cage. I guess that would be easy, or you could use a fence. But I like to choke it around something that's about head height, and then I just put my hand inside of it and cock my wrist back,
yeah,
so that the band is sitting on the back of my hand, and I just walk backwards. And I try to walk backwards as far as possible and really just hold it in an isometric and wrist extension. And I try to walk back as far as possible. And by the time, you know, that I really get back there, man, my whole arm is shaking.
Yeah.
It's a really cool drill to try. So people should try that out too.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, all that stuff is fun, and it's you know, your hands are so vital to you. That's a thing, you know, we hit pretty hard on today, because just think of the people. I mean, besides the normal stuff where a lot of people have back problems, or, you know, they're kind of stooped a little bit, or they don't have a lot of hand strength. I mean, stuff like this is amazing. Like I tell people, get a tennis ball and just start squeezing it. Keep it with you. Keep it on the front seat of your car. I always have a tennis ball in my car, mainly because, you know, people talk about stress. You want to really push some stuff out through your fingertips. That's a great way to do it. You know, soup cans. You know, you don't have to go out and buy, you know, $300 grip this, grip that, you know, or an Apollon axle or an inch dumbbell. I mean, it's great to go out and get them if you're at that level, but you can start very simple, folks. That's all I'm saying. So there's no reason why, you know, you shouldn't go out after this. That's what I'm saying. Jed, what else you got, brother?
Dude, that's about it, man. I think we covered the main highlights, and I think if we go any further with this stuff, we're going to start intimidating people.
No, no.
You know what I mean? So,
no, that's all right. Well, all right. Give out all your info. Obviously, give a contact to everybody. I hope when I put this show up tomorrow, people contact you. And it'd be great if you could get some people interested in the King Kong of Grips. So take it away.
Yeah, for sure. So I welcome everybody to check out my YouTube channel. You go to youtube.com/Jed Johnson with two D's. All one word, and that will be my YouTube channel. If it doesn't take you to my channel, just search Jed Johnson Grip Strength. I'm pretty sure it's going to take you to my channel that way, brother. I've got well over 1,000 videos dedicated to grip strength. I also have tons of videos on just general strength training and muscle building. I just plain love lifting. It's not about how much you lift, it's about how much you love lifting. So if that describes you, then you should check out my YouTube channel. Come to my website. My main website is dieselcrew.com. Diesel, just like the fuel, crew.com. And I have a contact form there. You can feel free to contact me. There's a search bar. Hundreds and hundreds of posts there on strength training, muscle building, and grip strength, as well as feats of strength, stone lifting, all that stuff. And then if you're really serious about it and you want to go next level and you want some guidance, then what you should do is join me at thegripauthority.com for $1 for the first month, and you'll get instant access to over 7 years of informational instructional material at thegripauthority.com dedicated to grip, feats of strength, and injury prevention and recovery for the lower arms. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm all over the place. So if it's one of the main ones, I'm probably there. Just look me up, and you should be able to find me. And I welcome everybody to reach out to me. And certainly, if you think you might want to try your hand at grip competition, then hit me up about King Kong on the 28th, brother.
Awesome. Hey, you got anything else?
No. That's it, brother. That's it, man.
Okay, just hang on 1 second. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Winner Circle, Winner Circle, Winner Circle. Look at it. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be doing some other things with a squeeze page with it, and we're already looking into some people that want to jump on here to be affiliated. We're going to do some affiliate marketing with it. It's a long story, and I'm working on that right now with a gentleman and some other things. So that is going to be marketed in a different way. And also, too, Men Etched in Stone, that product is going to be coming out very soon. And we've got one for women, and we've got one for kids. I've registered some things for it. There's going to be a number of things also too, motivation, possibility of some big changes in December. If not, it will be in the first quarter of 2018. So get ready because, as I said, I'm busting my balls harder than ever to make these $2 million enterprises here. And yes, the money is important because the money drives this big engine and it allows me to put things out and help people. And you never know, maybe you're going to need some help and maybe I'm going to back you. I can tell you that for sure. So I am, as I told Jed offline, I'm writing a different set of standards for what I do. There's a lot of people that do great things. I've looked what they've done. You take bits and pieces, but in the end, just like the weights, you gotta start with a structure, a baseline. If you don't have that baseline, you're not getting anywhere. So take that to heart when I tell you that. People are charging big money for that type of advice. I'm giving you it for free because I'm living through this right now, and I'm telling you, it takes a lot of guts and grit to keep rolling like this. But I know you all have it in you. If you decided to go after your passion, I can tell you wouldn't be a quitter. So think about that. Also, too, contributions. We need money. I've gone over the three pieces that you can connect to PayPal, what you get. Anything in advance, we appreciate. And you can give as much as a week's worth of coffee if you want. Go out to my PayPal account, which is FiorelloBarbell@nightcap.r.com. That's over 800 podcasts you're getting here for free. Not many people are going to give you that amount of content either there or on the FBC blog. So really think about it. It's very important, and I appreciate it. Also, too, go out to MotivationMuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the shows Jed and I have done. And his show and mine will be up tomorrow. So we're not doing a ton of shows. We're only doing a couple a week. That way I can get them up with my busy schedule outside of here. Also, too, you go out to MotivationMuscle.com, the homepage. Sign up for our newsletter. That's the only place you can do that. It goes right to my MailChimp account. You're in, you're on, away we go. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Jed and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@nightcap.r.com. Sign up. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher. That's what we've got, and we always appreciate that. We are out on a HOD directory. That's AHA. You can get M&M in your car anytime, any place. If someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, never be afraid to get 5 words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life forever. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Also, too, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, press it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says, in blood red, domination. We're domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our big balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to M&M forever, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That's just the beginning. It's just going to get heavier and heavier duty. They celebrated a year on something with M&M, and I said, we only want men that have 1,000-pound balls apiece, and it got feedback like you wouldn't believe. I mean that sincerely, too. We're the leaders of the world, and we're going to keep leading through our physical culture, believe me. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest college professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, the greatest chiropractor I ever had. We lost him 3 years in August to cancer. He'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. Say that to yourself on your best or worst day. You'll keep smiling. And don't be afraid to walk around and repeat it. That's what matters. What you feed your brain, man. What you feed your soul. I'm telling you right now, I'm living proof of that. Well, I'm going to go over a ton of stuff I've been doing. You're going to find it very interesting, the mind game I'm playing. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell at least 1,000 or more of your friends we're coming. We're not going to kick your door and we'll blow the roof off your house. And as the great Les Brown said, you all have greatness. We take it 2 steps further. we believe in you and we got your back. And I don't know many people that would ever say that. And before we sign off with Jed, a few things here. Number one, I've been talking about a new book I've been reading, and I love this guy through my dad. It's called What It Takes to Be Number One, Vince Lombardi on Leadership. Vince Lombardi Jr., his son, wrote it. I've been listening to whatever I can find from Lombardi. I got to tell you, he's a badass. And I mean, I wish I was around in that era. When he played for the Seven Blocks of Granite in Fordham, they were talking about him at 175 pounds on the line taking on a 215er. And they said he had lacerations all over him and cuts in his mouth. He played the whole football game with his mouth bleeding. I'd like to see how many of these fucking big shots would do that now. They don't want to pitch. They don't go in. It's nonsense. But I'm going to read this little piece before we sign off. Find the truth for your purpose. A true truth is one that works with all aspects of your life. Think about that, everybody. It's very important. And I mean it. Men, take care of your wives and girlfriends. Get rid of the 9-month belly and stop crying at every turn. Women, love your men. Take care of them. Same thing with your boyfriends. Don't let these vampires drive wedges between you. We want you to join our family and be with us for the next 30 years. It's something that's very worthwhile, and I mean that wholeheartedly. Jed, always an honor. Glad to have you back. I know you never went away, but, you know, connections are tough right now. But a fantastic show, man, and you're always appreciated here at M&M.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. It was nice talking with you. You're just like a brother to me, man.
Same here, man. And I tell you right now, we talked about loyalty. We talked about honor and all those things. If you don't have it, I don't want you. That's the way it is. And it's vital that you put that out there and people know. So, Jed, thanks. And so for Jed Johnson, this is Eric Fiorello. We will have Jed on definitely before the end of the year, maybe sooner, for hopefully next month. But as I said, there's a lot going on, and it's good, and it's going to all work out fine. Have a great weekend. The show will be up tomorrow, and look for more coming from FBC and M&M. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.